السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. وی کنٹینیوئنگ ود دی بایوگرافی آف سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ. سو وی ڈسکسڈ اپ ٹو دی پوائنٹ ویئر عمر رضی اللہ عنہ کیم ٹو نو ہو واز دی پرسن ہو ہیڈ سٹیبڈ ہم, اینڈ ہی میڈ شکر ٹو اللہ تعالی دیٹ اٹ وازنٹ اے مسلم. وائی؟ بیکاز دی مسلمز آر ہز سبجیکٹس. اینڈ آئی امیجن آن دی ڈے آف قیامہ, if you have a dispute with a Muslim, now you're going to have to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and iron out this dispute. This is why when we have disputes with people, rather give them the benefit of the doubt, forgive them and come out of the dispute. Imagine standing in the presence of Allah Ta'ala and the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and now your court case is carrying on. Rather you make the person maaf, give them the benefit of the doubt, tell him, right, bhai, take it, have it. There is nothing in this dunya that's so valuable that you can now risk having a court case there by Allah Pak in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather give it. What the person wants, take it, go. If you're saying it's yours, you have it, go. And turn to Allah Ta'ala. Allah will take care of our needs. Don't live with disputes. Resolve the things. Either come to some agreement, come to some compromise. If the person is not prepared to compromise at all, give the person the benefit of the doubt. Khalas. Then we also learned that now when they try to give Umar radiallahu anhu something to drink, it's coming out from the wounds. They gave him milk also, it's coming out from the wounds. That means it's, the wound is right through now, right? So they realize that Umar radiallahu anhu is not going to survive this. It's a fatal stabbing, right? Umar radiallahu anhu then said to his son Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, that go to Ummul Mu'mineen, Ma'aisha radiallahu anha, and say to her that Umar is conveying salam. Don't say Amirul Mu'mineen. Don't say the Amirul Mu'mineen has conveyed salam. Say Umar has conveyed salam. Because today I am no more Amirul Mu'mineen. And say to her that Umar bin Khattab asks permission to be buried with his two companions, meaning Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because they were buried in her home, right? Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried there, because a Nabi is buried where he passes away. He passed away in the home of Ma'isha radiallahu anha, so he was buried there. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was her father, right? So she didn't mind him being buried there. But now Umar radiallahu anhu, he's nobody to her. He's not a family member. He's not a mahram. So he's seeking permission that he also wants to be buried there next to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Abdullah bin Umar, he went, he greeted Ma'aisha radiallahu anha. He asked for permission to enter. He found her sitting and weeping. He said to her that Umar radiallahu anhu has conveyed salams and he is asking permission to be buried with his two companions. So she said that it was actually my wish. It was my wish to reserve that place for myself. And there was place now for one more qabr there. He said it was my wish, I wanted that place for myself. But today I will give preference to Umar radiallahu anhu. He can have that place. So when he returned, when Abdullah bin Umar went back, so it was said to Umar radiallahu anhu that Abdullah bin Umar has returned. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, make me sit up. So somebody supported him, put his body there, put his body, so Umar Nanu's body can be against his body. And he asked, now imagine you passing away, you know you're passing away, right? But you see, they had no attachment to the world. Today's time, if you're passing away, hey, now you got so many things to worry about. Right, hey, that shop, now this money, I hit that other thing there, owing that person this. Umar Anon, what is his concern at the time of his mort? One is he told his son about debts, if there's any debts paid off. He told his son, now go sort out my qabr now, I want to be buried there next to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So when he returned, he asked him, what news do you have? So the son said, O Amirul Mu'mineen, it is as you wish, that she has given permission. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Alhamdulillah, there was nothing more important to me than this. But now look at his precaution. He says, when I pass away, take me again. Take my body there again. Again, greet Ummul Mu'mineen, Ma'isha radiallahu anha, and again ask her that Umar bin Khattab seeks permission to be buried with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If she gives permission, then only bury me. If she refuses, take me to the Qabristan of the Muslims. Right? Why? Because it could be that at that time, Ma'isha Nana, in the spur of the moment, she said, okay, but after that she has a change of heart. Right? Or because he is Amirul Mu'mineen now. So now when I'm passed away, now go ask her ijazat again, just to be on the safe side. Go ask her permission again. If she gives permission, bury me there. If not, take me to Jannatul Baqi. So when Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, we carried him and we started walking. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu greeted Ma'isha radiallahu anha and said, Umar bin Khattab asks for permission. Aisha radiallahu anha said, bring him in. He was brought in and he was buried next to his two companions. Other narratives of the incident provide extra details. Right? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that Umar radiallahu anhu was stabbed in the morning by Abu Lu'lu' Fayruz, a slave of Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu. He was a Zoroastrian. Abu Rafi' said that Abu Lu'lu' used to make mills, and Mughira radiallahu anhu used to tax 4 dirhams from him every day. So Abu Lu'lu' came to complain to Umar radiallahu anhu. This was before. He's explaining what happened before. He came to complain. He said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, Mughira taxes me too heavy. Ask him to reduce it. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, fear Allah and be good to your master. Umar Raun gave him this advice, said, fear Allah and be good to your master. You are a slave. If your master has asked you to do that, you must do it. Umar radiallahu anhu, in his mind, he intended to meet Mughira radiallahu anhu, and he would request Mughira to reduce the amount. However, this Abu Lu'lu was infuriated, and he said, does everyone receive justice except me? That whoever goes to Amir Mu'mineen, make sure that justice is done, but only when I went with my problem now, he's telling me like this. You see, this is be sabri, what? Be sabri, impatience. Right? He made up his mind that he's going to kill Umar radiallahu anhu. But he kept it a secret. He then made a double-edged dagger. He sharpened it and he poisoned it. Then he went to Hormuzan. Hormuzan was a Persian commander who had been captured and he had become a Muslim. Right? He went to Hormuzan and he asked him about the quality of this dagger. Hurmuzan gave an honest estimation. He said, I think anyone you strike with it will be killed. This knife is so sharp and so, right? Abu Rafi added, Abu Lu'lu waited for an opportunity. He came to Umar radiallahu anhu during the Fajr Salah and stood beyond him. Whenever the Iqama for Salah was made, Umar radiallahu anhu would say, stand in straight lines. Then he would go forward and he would start the Salah with the Tadbir. As he started the Salah, Abu Lu'lu approached him and stabbed him in the shoulder and the abdomen. So he went for the heart and went for the stomach. Umar radiallahu anhu fell down. Amr bin Maymun said that when Umar radiallahu anhu was stabbed, he heard him saying, وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدَرًا مَقْدُورًا. And the command of Allah is a decree determined. Ji. Umar radiallahu anhu continued to work for the unity of the Ummah and its future until even his last moments. Despite the pain from his deep wounds, he's bleeding profusely, he's in pain. But these everlasting moments shed light on his profound iman, ikhlas, and his spirit to sacrifice for the deen of Allah. In these painful moments, he was able to invent a new, unprecedented way to elect the new Khalif. It was touching proof and a clear sign of his statesmanship. That right to the end, he was worried about the Ummah. He continued his office duties till the end. He didn't say, well, now yeah, I'm stabbed now you must worry about me now. No. He wasn't worried about himself. He was still worried about the Ummah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away without appointing a successor in clear terms. Right? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he was passing away, he appointed Umar radiallahu anhu. Right? Abu Bakr consulted with different Sahaba and all that, and then eventually he came to his decision and he appointed Umar radiallahu anhu. Now, when Umar radiallahu anhu was asked to appoint his successor on his deathbed, he's stabbed now, he's in pain. He pondered over it deeply and he decided to follow a method which was most suitable in those circumstances. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam left the people in a state where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was unanimously accepted to be the most meritorious. There was no question about it. When Abu Bakr's name came, everybody accepted. Hence, there was no disagreements, very little. More so, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave lot of indications that Abu Bakr must be the Khalif. When Abu Bakr decided to appoint his successor, he knew that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were certain that the strongest, the most able and the best person for this office would be Umar radiallahu anhum. So he consulted the senior Sahaba and none of them opposed his suggestion. Everyone pledged allegiance to him. Now came Umar radiallahu anhu's time. So he used a different method. Umar radiallahu anhu appointed a council of 6 Sahaba. And his choice, all of them were Badri Sahaba. Now with regards to the Badri Sahaba, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pleased with them. Allah ta'ala has announced their maghfirat, right? They are the cream of the Ummah, the Badri Sahaba. So you can't go wrong with them, right? So he chose 6 from the Badri Sahaba. All of them were fit to be rulers, even though some were better than others. Umar radiallahu anhu then explained the method that how you are going to elect the Khalif. And he also gave a time limit for it. You can't take long now. There's a time limit also. Right? Everything he explained how they must go about electing the Khalif. He also, or choosing, not electing, we don't have elections, we have selections. He also delegated a platoon of Mujahideen to monitor the whole process and to punish anybody who opposes their decision. That once these six make mashwara and they choose a Khalif, if anybody opposes them, these Mujahideen must sort them out. Why? Because this will prevent chaos, right? Now, what are the details of what he said? First, he elected the six people. Who were the six people? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu, Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu did not make Sa'id bin Zayd bin Nufail a part of the council, even though he was also from the Ashara Mubashara. Right? Why? Because he belonged to the Bani Adi. The Banu Adi tribe was the tribe of Umar radiallahu anhu. So he didn't want to make it seem like I'm favoring my family members. So the six members had to gather in the house of one of them, and they must have a meeting in one of their houses, and start their deliberations. He also sent his son, Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu anhuma, to be present there as an advisor. He can't be a candidate, he can't be a decision maker. Right? He must just be there to offer them advice, because obviously he was close to his father. He saw how his father ran the Islamic empire, so he could give them advice. But he can't become the Khalif, and he can't choose the Khalif. He can just offer advice. He appointed Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu as the Imam until the Khalif is appointed. So the interim Imam was Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu. He appointed Miqdad bin Aswad and Abu Talha radiallahu anhuma as observers for this entire process. So there's no wrong must take place. Umar radiallahu anhu specified 3 days. He said 3 days is enough time for the council. They can't take longer than this to choose the Khalif. They got 3 days. Right? Because once you're going to let it go longer, then now differences are going to come. Hence he told them, let not the fourth day come, except that you must already have an Amirul Mu'mineen. You must have a Khalif by the fourth day. You must have latest by the fourth day there must be a Khalifa. Yeah. Umar radiallahu anhu told the members to unite and consult with each other. He told them that if 5 of them agreed on a leader and the 6th member refused to endorse the decision, he would strike the neck of the dissenter. Right? And that he would do the same if 4 agreed on a leader from the council and 2 dissented. However, we must caution that these narratives, you know, it doesn't mean that by him saying this, then we are advocating a democracy. No. Majority vote and all that. That doesn't work in Islam. Understand? Right, so Umar radiallahu anhu said to Suhaib radiallahu anhu, lead the people in salah for 3 days and leave these men in a house. When they agree on a leader, right, then that person will then become the Khalif. Right? Umar radiallahu anhu then also, as we discussed, he said that his son must be present, right, but he won't be in a decision-making role. However, he told them that if 3 of them agree on a Khalif, right? So that means now you got, because 3 are agreeing on one and 3 are agreeing right, or another. So now, what you going to do now? Then, Abdullah bin Umar will be the decider. If you got three this side, three that side. So now, Abdullah bin Umar will then say, okay, go with this one or go with that one. That was his role. So whichever one Abdullah bin Umar is in favor of, that choice will prevail. If, however, they are not satisfied with Abdullah bin Umar's decision, then let the opinion of that group which contains Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu an must be the decision. Isn't Abdul Rahman bin Auf is one of the six? So now three are on one side, three are on one side. So Abdullah bin Umar must then make the decision. If his decision is not accepted, then whichever three has got Abdul Rahman bin Auf, then whatever is the decision of that three would be the decision. Imagine to what lengths he went at that condition, while he's stabbed, he's bleeding, blood is draining out of his body, he's in pain, but he's doing all this at that time. And then he described that Abdul Rahman bin Auf is wise and he is a rightly guided person. The best counsel is Abdul Rahman bin Auf. He is wise and rightly guided. He is a guard from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala protects him. So listen to him. We'll stop there. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Inshallah we'll continue. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته